This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and you know what? It's been a while, but Paul Dano still collects teeth.
Just an oldie but a goodie. I'm Brandi Posey, and I know Oscar Isaac was in a ska band, but Pedro Pascal feels like he was in a ska band.
I'm Tess Barker, and if I keep working, I get to go buy myself a cup of iced stimulant as a reward.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Okay, can we talk about Pedro Pascal?
Wait, guys, I need to Google. Sorry.
Okay,
oh
Google.
Oh my God,
sorry.
Whoa, he's been
I'm bad with names. Yeah, this guy's hot.
Okay, yeah, he's been a crush of mine since Game of Thrones. I love him forever. He's such a fucking little weirdo. He's the best.
He's so hot.
Yeah,
and like I think I was trying to avoid having a crush on him because I knew how bad it would be. And then Adam sent me, I think Adam has like a man crush on him. Everyone has a crush on him.
Yeah.
Adam sent me a thing of him doing a Vanity Fair interview where they asked him if he thought he was a heartthrob. He was doing a lie detector.
Yeah.
And they said, do you think you're a heartthrob? And he said, no. And he said, he's lying.
Oh.
And he's like, okay, fine. I think I'm a heartthrob.
Yeah, you do.
Like, that's so funny.
Do you look at fan pages of you when you're sad? And he said yes. He was giggling. Damn. It was so fucking cute.
Of course
that's
he
adorable.
Does.
Adorable.
I saw another interview, and I don't know what the clip is from, but somebody was like, it's just him saying the word slutty daddy about himself on a red carpet.
God.
And kind of he's just like a little bit buzzed, and he's just like, yeah, I'm kind of a slutty daddy.
Oh.
And I was like, I love you. He just seems so funny and fun, and he just seems so like happy.
He's just always in like having fun.
Wow. Yeah. See, I only know him from Narcos, I think.
He's great in there.
He's great in it, but I didn't get the happy context.
Oh my gosh.
So he's great.
Yeah, he's phenomenal in Game of Thrones. Oberyn Martell, I love his character so much. I love him on that show. He's amazing in the second Kingsman movie. His character in that movie is so fun and a blast. He's such a good actor, and he's like Chilean, and his family are just like freedom fighters that like fled to America. Like he's just a cool, awesome. I love his whole vibe.
Well, I mean, and then he's in that movie with Nick Cage that came out last year. That's like the funny stuff.
Yes,
so,
that movie is great.
And anyway, but I think a lot of the goofiness, he hosted SNL this last weekend.
Yes.
And like every sketch he's in, he's having so much fun. He's super committed. Yeah. And so he's just like, he's just so hot. And I hate it.
Nice things.
I love it.
It's all good.
I love it. I'm just happy everyone is seeing him.
Yeah.
He's
being seen.
Yes. I just really, he's getting everything he deserves. I've had such a, he's been like my dark horse Hollywood crush for years now. And I'm just like, Pedro, you're everywhere. I'm proud of you. And you're still happy. It's just nice to see like a star that seems genuinely happy and like is not taking it too seriously and is just like along for the ride.
Totally, totally.
Just a beautiful slutty daddy.
Let's get him. Let's get him on the show.
Pedro, come hang out with us. Also, he's the what's the Star Wars thing?
Mandalorian. That's the other thing I know him from. Yeah.
Yes, he's also.
But you don't really see him in that.
No,
so.
He's wearing the
doesn't count.
Yeah.
That's why
when he got cast. I was like, His face. You're hiding his beautiful face in this costume the entire time. All right, whatever.
One of our friends was an extra in Mandalorian. It's someone you guys know. And when I tell you off mic, you're going to laugh your ass off. But every time we watch, like, any, but we don't, like, he's told us about episodes he's in, but even he's, like, he plays a stormtrooper. And so, every scene we watch, we're like, oh, that could be. And it's just really funny to imagine, like, one of our friends as one of the stormtroopers.
I mean, that's kind of good for them because they can just be like, yeah, that's me to any of
that was true. Actually, I'm an extra in Mandalorian, too.
Yeah. Honestly,
we're all stormtroopers.
Yeah. We should put that on our IMDb. I think.
Might as well.
How are you going to prove it? Why not? I love it.
Do we have any? Wait, when does this come out?
February 22nd. Nothing specific. Follow all of us on all the things. I've got a picture of this in March, at the end of March, I think, in Los Angeles. It's going to be fun.
I'll be at the Chatterbox in Covina this weekend on Sunday.
Yeah.
But follow us. Follow our Twitters, our Instagrams. We usually repost our shows and stuff there, and it's on our website, ladytoladycomedy.com.
That's all the business. Took care of the business.
Business.
Let's get to our show. It was a really fun episode. Our guest has done so much stuff. You may have heard her podcast, Just Between Us. She has a New York Times bestselling book that she wrote with her podcast co-host Gabe Dunn called I Hate Everyone But You. And she has a new book called Overthinking About You, Navigating Romantic Relationships When You Have Anxiety, OCD, and or Depression. She was super fun to hang out with and very insightful. Please enjoy our chat with Allison Raskin. Go team.
Hi, guys.
Ready? Okay.
Can I tell you guys, like, literally as we hit record, I got a deadline alert on my phone that they are turning La La Land into a musical, and I almost screamed.
That would have been a good mic check. I like it.
Yeah.
Let's say hi to our guest, Allison Raskin. Hi. Are you excited? Do you have deadline alerts on your phone?
Yeah. What's the deal, Allison?
I don't, but my mom has them for me, like Google alerts for me. And
that's cute.
Which is so sweet. But what's so funny is, like, she's also, I think, signed up to get alerted when someone posts a new photo of me on WikiFeet. Because she's full support. She's support across the board. And so then she'll forward me the emails that I can know that there's.
That's hilarious. Is she in the comments if you get, like, bad reviews? Like, like how dare you? My daughter's feeling perfect.
I hope she's in there defending you, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not to brag, but I haven't really had too many bad comments. I'm a 5 out of 5.
You're a 5?
Wow.
By the way, this is the second podcast we've brought up. WikiFeed is...
It's an ongoing subject on our show.
Yes.
You're a 5.
I was WikiFeed of the day on the same day that my first book came out, and I didn't know what was more exciting.
Now that's some cross promo that we can get into.
But I just can't
imagine day for me.
Being WikiFeed of the day on January 6th. That would be a really
tough.
Oh,
oh man. Stole it. Yeah.
Thunder. Stole
it. Yeah. Like, excuse me. I thought this was my day.
Yeah. Wait, how did you find out you were WikiFeed of the day? Did a friend tell you?
I'm assuming her mom.
Through your mom?
I don't remember. The other problem with me telling any sort of anecdotal story is that my OCD then goes, that's not true. You're lying. So now, of course, I'm like, did that happen? I don't know. I've been sharing this for years, but
I am a little bit, that's cool. Your mom is so cool with the WikiFeed thing. I'm a little disturbed to know that that comes up in Google because my mom doesn't know about Google alerts, but when she she retired, but when she worked, she would sit there at work and Google me.
Yeah.
I love it. It's so nice. Like, it's also one of my favorite stories was, like, even before I did BuzzFeed, like when I was just, like, starting out, like, doing internet stuff. At some point early on, like, my friend, like, asked me to be in this, like, comedy video where, like, the whole point was, like, about me shaking my butt or something. Mm-hmm. Either the joke was that I didn't have a big butt or I don't know. Anyway, it was a silly,
we've,
like,
all been in those butt-shaking videos that we can't remember.
Yeah.
Of course, it happens.
Yeah. And I was so embarrassed for my parents to see it. But then they went, wow, we are so proud of you for, you know, expanding what type of content you're doing.
That's so sweet.
Wow. Wow.
Like your parents use the word content? That's big.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. I don't know what they said, but like expanding, you know, like your...
I'm really impressed pushing that myself. You have like the creative output that you have with such supportive parents. Yeah. Like I honestly...
Well, it's because I was so mentally ill growing up that my parents were just like, do anything. Like, oh, you're alive? We're so happy.
That's the key. Okay, cool. Cool. Good to know.
Yeah, there's actually like, I feel like it's very similar. You can do anything and do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like 1 degree different and it's way better.
Yeah.
Does your mom ever get Google alerts for like different Alison Raskins that are like, I don't know, train robbers? And then she's like, honey, we need to talk. Like, do you have an alter ego name out there? Oh, yeah.
What's your other Google alert?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think I'm pretty lucky with my name that there doesn't seem to be anyone else that's like really posting or doing stuff. But okay,
that's good.
Yeah, I think she's mostly on me. I mean, I Google myself all the time, which is a habit I should be trying to break. But
how's it go?
Have an extra 30 seconds.
Yeah. How's it going for you? You guys Google yourselves? Like,
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
No.
Well, yeah, because you have a healthier relationship to social media.
Well, I've been there. I've been there before when I had it, and it was...
It's yielded disturbing results. Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Most of mine are women who have passed. Barbara Gray, not a young person's name. So almost all of my Google alerts are like... She leaves behind Gerald and, aww, you know, yeah.
You're the Highlander of Babs Grays. You're the last, going to be the last one standing.
Maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're going
to. The one thing people get confused is some people online that seem to think I'm Jamie Raskin's wife.
Oh, funny.
From Congress. Oh, so. Wow.
Congressional spouse.
Yeah, so like people will be like, how dare you like do this thing, like,
random,
you know,
angry tweets.
And then I'm like, I'm not, I'd love to be married to the guy, he's doing a lot of great work, but he's very much older than me, and but like, you know, I wish.
You know what though, I feel like specifically you can use this for your advantage, like specifically if you're ever traveling in DC. Ooh. I think it's like, you come in, you're like, excuse me, I need to check my luggage here. I'm meeting my husband for lunch. I'm Mrs. Raskin. And you just drop a Mrs. Raskin anytime you need anything.
Very specific instance.
Yeah.
Yes. This is good.
I really like that. I honestly think we should all be adopting that. Just pick like a if you have a close to a last name, just wink at people in the city that you're in. See if you can make it work for you.
Just wink at people. People like,
Randy,
like it.
I always think about you because there's that baseball player, Buster Posey.
I remember the first time I went, the way I learned about him is I was in San Francisco because he's an SF Giant, or he was at some point. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people with Posey jerseys, and I was walking around and I was like, well, these aren't for me. Who the hell are you?
These aren't for me.
Yeah.
Did you buy one?
No. No, I'm not a big jersey person, and also it's like if I were to have any like sports stuff, it would be a Baltimore Orioles stuff because that's just like the team I grew up with. So,
and also we can't be repping the Giants on this podcast.
No, it just can't happen.
No.
No. San Francisco is a fun city, but they're fine. We don't need them.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, what am I missing?
Yeah.
Intricacy.
Oh my god. By the way, I mansplained sports to my male Uber driver the other day.
Just the concept of sports in general.
So there's a ball, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes a ball.
Yeah.
Sometimes, not even always.
Sean dropped me off at dance class. I didn't have my car, so I'm taking my Lyft home. And I was like trying to make small talk. I'm like, what do you guys like to talk about sports? And so he's like, I'm from LA. And so I was like, oh, do you like the Dodgers? I'm like, we can talk about that for 10 minutes, you know? And he's like, yeah. Mm. And then he like didn't even know that Justin Turner had been traded, or Trey Turner. I was like, okay, well, that's like kind of big news. You should know about that. And then I... And then we start talking about the Super Bowl. He didn't even know that two brothers were playing each other in the Super Bowl, or that the former coach of the Eagles, Andy Reid, is now the coach of Kansas City. And so he's going to be playing against his former team.
Ooh, high and, drama.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, now we are all your Uber driver. It feels good to.
So what did he
now,
say?
Now I know things.
He was like, thank you. Like, I'm going to be more interested in the game now. He liked it.
Hell yeah.
So both my dad and my fiance are mega baseball fans.
Nice.
Like it was very funny when I first started dating John. We started like March came around pretty quickly, and he went, just so you know, like I'm a little different when it's baseball season.
I mean, good for him to also know that about himself. The self-awareness is
I'm a baseball werewolf is a very good word. Right.
And I said, John, I couldn't be more prepared for this. We only had a father 6 months out of the year.
They have that song in, what is it? Whatever the baseball musical is, 6 months out of every year, where it's about that.
Damn Yankees.
It's about, Damn Yankees. Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
All right, I'm going to lose you.
Wait, are they the same team, your dad and your fiance?
Okay, so yes, they're both Yankees fans.
I love that.
Okay, that's good at least.
My dad has been in this fantasy baseball league for like over 35 years. And so he puts his team before the Yankees. Do you know what I mean? So like if his pitcher is pitching against the Yankees, he's rooting for his pitcher, which John will argue is not a true Yankees fan.
Yeah, I would have to agree, Allison. Like I'm married to football. My husband is obsessed with gambling, but like he would never, even if it's advantageous from a statistical standpoint or he might win money, like he would never bet against an Eagle or like put someone on his fantasy team who's playing an Eagle. So I think my fiance would agree that's kind of a faux pas.
But now my dad proposed to my fiance and asked him to be his partner on this fantasy league.
Oh,
wow.
Yes. He asked my permission first. And then
That's very cute. You have a very cute family. Can we just say your mom's Googling you all the time? Your dad and your fiance are like in a fantasy league together. Oh my God. Yeah. Who's cross stitching all of this? I love it.
Well, it's because I didn't have many friends. So I really had to cultivate the family. And,
beautiful. But I love it.
It's so funny because my dad takes this so intensely, and John's like, oh my God, I have like 8 emails from your dad about this. They're Dad's having a like, meeting on
are
Friday.
Are you sure you're ready for this?
I know.
Oh my gosh.
So we'll see how it goes. Wish us all luck.
I love it. I love it. You guys should get like when their team wins. I think that I don't know how fantasy baseball works, but like they should get like matching championship rings or something.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
Just to throw that out there as like an ideal. I mean, it might supersede his wedding ring. It sounds like potentially. So
yeah,
but maybe just 6 months out of the year he wears one versus the other.
Maybe as his wedding ring.
Yeah, you could just switch them.
So, Allison, we should talk about your new book a little bit. How do you feel about that?
Thank you.
It's called Overthinking About You, Navigating Romantic Relationships When You Have Anxiety, OCD, and or Depression. So where did, tell us about it. Where did you, decide, when did you decide to write it and kind of your impetus for it?
Yeah, so I was a disaster at dating for a long time. I've had OCD since I was 4 years old, and I've struggled with anxiety and bouts of depression, although I will caveat that my form of depression is like, I've always been able to get out of bed and do things I've just wanted to die while doing them. And I was very obsessed with the idea of marriage and locking down a partner and all of those things combined would make it so I was not my best in a relationship where I was, you know, trying to force things along at my pace to ease my own anxiety, trying to just make sure I was with somebody all the time, and then having kind of a very like classic kind of like anxious attachment style and all that stuff, and just feeling like really out of control of myself in this area of my life more than any other area, I'd say that like I was like not proud of my behavior, but I also didn't really know how to change it. And then in like 2019, I sort of realized that like I was showing up in a different way, that I like was better able to like handle dating and myself and not let it emotionally rock me in quite the same way. And I started dating somebody at that time, and I came up with the idea for the book, which was originally more of like a more of a memoir of like this was my journey with it, with some kind of experts interweave, but more about me. And then as I started, sorry, you guys know Josh Gondelman.
Yeah.
He just texted me the sweetest thing. He's just the nicest guy.
He really is.
He's just a kind
person alive.
Yeah.
Total cocaine freak, but I mean.
Yeah. Right, exactly. okay, sorry. So, and so then I started, working on the book more as like a memoir, but then I realized that I wanted it to like be more helpful. Like I think like sharing our own stories is really valuable, but also sometimes it's like, okay, but tell me what to actually do, or like what are the tools that I need to use, or like what would a psychiatrist say about this? So the end result of the book is like much more blown out, where like my story is definitely interwoven, but it's also a lot of interviews with experts like you know, therapists, sex therapists, psychiatrists, dating experts, some couples, like just really, you know, trying to give people a toolkit for how to maybe change some patterns and to kind of reframe how we approach romantic relationships, to give some like tools for how to talk about our mental health in relationships. So for me, the book is really kind of this first like direct examination of like the intersection of dating and our mental health and how these two things exacerbate each other and what we can kind of do to calm that exacerbation.
For sure. Like watching rom-coms is to show you how it's done, right?
Yeah. Exactly. That's a real good thing. Play by play. Perfect. Works great. Like that every time.
That and Disney movies is pretty much all you need to know about love.
Perfect. Yeah, we want it to be really, really realistic what you're looking for. Yeah. And yes, they should be Prince Charming.
Yeah. First name Prince, perfect. Last name Charming. What was the most like surprising thing that you learned in sort of talking to people while you were researching for the book? Or did anything surprise you?
Well, the most surprising thing that happened was that my ex-fiance walked out on me while I was writing it. So that was kind of a shock.
Okay. I'm working on this book. Come on, man.
Yeah, like literally. And so I had like pretty much just finished the first draft. I'd gotten engaged in May of 2020, and then he left in November of 2020. And what was honestly the most surprising was that like how helpful the book was to me. Aww. In dealing with that.
Yeah.
You know, like it was kind of like, oh, well, thank God I had just done all of this research and all of this work, because I could then like be, I sort of say I was like the first guinea pig of what the book's messaging was. And obviously it was like a horrible time, but I think what really separated it from other heartbreaks I'd had in my life, even though it was by far the biggest heartbreak, was that I was able to just deal with the sadness and the loss instead of tearing myself down and blaming myself and letting it be an excuse to like, shit on myself and like have it be some reflection of my self-worth that this person left, which was definitely the hole I would fall down to previously. Mm-hmm. And like recognizing that change, I was like, oh, this work does work. Like we can get to this place where obviously you're always going to get hurt if somebody you love leaves, but it doesn't necessarily mean that like that it will destroy you mentally in the same way. And so that was surprising in a good way.
Yeah.
Did you think though about changing the book to like how to get over a big stinky turd who leaves you for a minute?
I had to rewrite the last chapter. And so I like had to like send this like mortifying email to my editor being like, hey, I know I sent you the first draft. He left. I got to rewrite chapter 8. Like, just give me some time on that one. And then my poor editor was going through the book highlighting every time I had mentioned him so that I would know to cut it or change it. It was like, ooh, it was so like, mortifying.
Do a search and replace for ex-fiance.
Yeah, yeah.
If only you could search and replace your whole life.
Right?
Wow, that's, yeah, I mean, I think it's such important thing for like people to study about themselves, and, you know, noticing that you have patterns is so interesting because it's something mm-hmm. that you just, mm-hmm. I think like now I'm only starting to notice later on in my life, because obviously like, you know, in my 20s and stuff, you're living out the pattern and you're like, this is great. And
then you're making the pattern.
Yeah, you're making a pattern.
Yeah, exactly. What can I weave? Let's see.
It's not going to be a tapestry everyone likes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. What knitting needles did my childhood give me to weave throughout my 20s?
Yes. Yes. I've been crocheting this whole time. Take that, Michaels.
And then, yeah, actually having the tools to like figure out what it is and make those relationship healthier. So good. So that's, I mean, it's amazing. You know, I feel mm-hmm. like it's such a good, it's so nice that you're putting those tools out there for people.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I mean, I think there's just like this expectation that like we should know how to date and be in relationship with each other when it's like actually very complicated and hard. And especially if you have certain, you know, mental health struggles or symptoms, like that's going to be a little even extra hard. And so like my message is sort of like, it's okay to struggle with this. It's normal to struggle with this. Like, but here's how we can maybe make it a little easier instead of like, well, if you didn't know from the beginning, you're screwed.
You know? Yeah. You're just fucked for
If you're not married to your high school sweetheart, oh, I don't think it's going to work out.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just thinking about my poor boyfriend. Just like, yeah, sorry.
No, it's good. It is one of those things that it's like you wish that there was like a class to like, you know, early on in life or whatever, where it's like, it's the same as like financial stuff, but then it's also like, would you absorb any of that at 18?
I don't know if you would, but I do think it would be nice to attempt it. Like, it would be great if in high school they had more classes about relationships and mental health. Like, we didn't have any, literally nothing.
Yeah, but do you guys think it's like possible, like, not to be dismissive of like a teen relationship, but like, I don't even know if it's possible to have like a mature relationship as a teenager, in the same way that I don't think like someone doing stand up for the first time can really have a great set. Like, it's like, I don't think it's possible.
I think I'm just talking about starting the building blocks, because I think it takes you so long to get it that like it's something that you could like later on be like, oh, remember that thing, you know, maybe that's whatever it is.
And maybe be less traumatized by the bullshit.
Learning boundaries. Just the beginning of like learning any of that stuff in any capacity, you know,
and to just sort of like get rid of some of the shame around it, you know, because I think that like there's this like quote unquote like quick crazy girl stereotype of like, I'm texting too much, I'm calling too much, I'm clinging, but like kind of understanding like, why am I behaving this way? Lots of other people have behaved this way. What are some things that I can do to self-soothe in those moments instead of just feeling like I'm weird or broken or any of that? Which I feel like that kind of messaging you have to like kind of search for instead of it being like presented as like, and this is something you'll probably encounter.
For sure. Well, and also just not feeling like you're the only person that's going through it, or like your situation is super unique. I mean, you're still going to like feel that to a certain degree, but it's like just to be like, oh, here's a whole book of other people that have like felt this way. So I'm not as, you know, quite as misunderstood as I might feel like I am. Mom!
Yeah, I think like that's one of the biggest things to me about like figuring out what my own stuff is, whether it's, you know, depression or ADHD, but like hearing other people talk about the cycles that they go through and then being like, oh, wait a minute, that's like exactly what I do. And kind of knowing, yeah, like I'm not alone, and there are people who've like figured out ways that they can help themselves. Mm-hmm. It's very helpful.
I lent a self-help book to a friend that's going through a breakup, not realizing that all of my notes were in it.
Oh my God.
And he's been like sending me screenshots and being like, this also resonated with me. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
How dare he?
I just wrote fuck with like five U's across one part of this book. And he was like, I was like, yeah, well, didn't think about that. Don't lend your books out, everybody.
Oh my God.
I also like really love that you make notes in your books.
Oh yeah. That's especially nice. that kind of stuff, like any kind of like self-helpy or anything like that. I mean, even in like some of my books that I like, fiction books and stuff that I love, I will highlight passages and try to just be like, I want to remember this part. I think I have such a bad memory for words, I have a horrible memory for stuff that I'm always just like, this is like the emotional kernel that I wanted to remember, you know, more than anything else or whatever. So
yeah, I feel like I used to do that in college and I kind of stopped. Maybe I should start.
Yeah.
Again. I will say on the Kindle, mm-hmm. they like, if you read a book on Kindle, they have like a highlight feature, and maybe there's a way to turn it off and I'm just being an aunt, but you can see like where everyone else highlighted. And I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I love it. You love it? I kind of love it. Okay. I'm such a nerd that I'll be like, oh, we got a juicy paragraph coming up. Something got highlighted. So I like that. But I kind of want to find my own, like, I feel like it kind of directs me to text in a way that like I'm not, I would rather like organically be attracted to that text, if that makes sense.
Mm. Totally.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm sure you can turn that off. There's no way they're forcing everyone to look at that.
I think you must, because I don't see it anymore and I used to see it. So I must have done something by accident.
Okay. So maybe I just need to hit a bunch of buttons.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think it's interesting to see like what is like as almost like a scientist of like what is compelling to people, like what, you know, and as a writer also, like what are people latching on to? Like, would I have latched on to this in the same way, not knowing other people had? Like,
I agree. No, 100%. Mm-hmm. And like usually it is like a pretty profound paragraph. Like there's a reason a bunch of people are highlighting it. And I do like that about it for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see both ends of that.
It'd be funny to be a highlight troll and just highlight some real
bad
bullshit.
Stuff.
Yeah, highlighting all the word times it says butt.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, hell yeah.
I also don't know how to highlight, but that's a me problem.
Oh, I've never done it. I don't know how either.
Okay, we got to take some ant lessons. We'll be back in a second, everybody. We're back.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Allison.
Yay.
That was fun.
Right? Yeah, right?
Part a roll call.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, we're going to play a game to get to know you better. It's called That's So Random. And here's our theme song.
Hey, Blinken's my dad.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so random.
Right?
Oh, my God.
I didn't make it up.
Oh, my God. I can't. It's just like...
That's so random.
So random.
So freaking random.
It really honestly is.
So freaking random.
That's so random.
Not raving.
What you're telling me right now is so random.
I can't even.
That's a random.
My God.
Random.
Okay, so we said the word a lot, so these are random questions.
Yeah. Also, I just want to throw out there, on the last episode, we talked about doing music videos for these. And if any listeners have any, if that inspired anything visually for you.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
323-6buck-30 is the phone number. Give us a call. Let us know what that inspires, because we're going to shoot some videos later this year.
Did you make this song?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's us.
It's unbelievable. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's so good.
We really like making them.
Yeah, they're very fun.
Yeah, they're really
Is it
fun.
Different every week?
We have different segments for different songs for all our games.
Yeah, we probably have like 7 to 8.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's great. I only have one song for my one of my, I only sing once in my podcast, but that's a mistake. And yeah, I should be singing more.
You know what?
Yeah,
you should
just get out there.
Find like those free music libraries and just like find something we like and just go for it.
Yeah,
we let
YouTube free drop the beat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. And then you're just adding the complex vocal layer.
Exactly.
Yep. Yep, exactly. We're all just like one hand on one headphone, just going for it.
Okay, here we go. Allison. Oh, wait, where is it? Do you think aliens exist?
Yes. 100% I do. This is a big passion of mine.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
Tell me more.
Yes. Get into it, girl. Okay. Preach, preach, preach.
So I've been an alien aficionado for quite some time. In 9th grade of high school, we had to write a 90-page research paper, which looking back was far too long.
Yeah. 90?
That's insane.
Also,
it's
who
way
wants
too
to
long.
Read that as a teacher?
Wow. I don't know. And so we were allowed to pick any topic, though. And so I picked Roswell. So I wrote this like 90-page paper about what happened in Roswell. My ultimate thesis was we don't know for sure that it was an alien, but they were definitely lying about something.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I maintain to this day.
Agreed.
And what's very funny, though, is that I like requested these like documents from the government for the paper. And then like months later, the government called my house and was like, does Allison Raskin live here?
You did like a FOIA like, request?
I don't know. Like my mom was like, yeah. And they were like, okay.
You're did they give on you the papers? List.
I think I had like already gotten the papers. This was like months later. They like were like checking that in on
insane.
Me.
Whoa.
Wait, can
that's
some,
so
okay,
funny.
I don't, can you give me like a quick Roswell? I don't know anything about it, honestly.
So basically what happened was like in Roswell, New Mexico, something crashed in this person's lawn and they were like, oh, look at this. And everyone was like, wow, yeah, we saw stuff in the sky. And then like 24 hours later, it had all been removed. And the guy was like, okay. No, nothing happened.
But yeah. Like, okay.
You know, like clearly it had. And there's like, look, I think in that incident, it might have very well been something military that had had crashed. Like it could have been like a military balloon or like, you know, but they were hiding something.
They still had something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my other huge theory about aliens, I'm so glad we brought this up.
Me too.
Please.
Couldn't be more riled so quickly. Is that I believe that if there are aliens that are already here and you find one or you see a photo, it's so easy for the government to just say, that's from the deep ocean.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because
well, I think about that a lot, how we have aliens in the ocean.
Yeah, we do.
Right?
Yeah.
Like the things that are in the deep ocean look like aliens. Like you could see anything, and if someone said, nah, that's from the ocean, you'd go, okay.
That's true. That's actually really true.
Right?
Yeah.
100%.
So that's
100%.
My big theory.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know if they're already among us. I don't know. I think maybe, but they're definitely out there. I find it to be too egotistical not to think that they exist.
No, not to think we're the only beings in the
I guess,
goddamn.
Oh, yeah. Like, I feel like even just, like, from a purely statistical standpoint, like, they have to be there. I guess I'm just like, what are the odds that they have, like, a body in the way that we can envision or that they operate on the same wavelengths that our eyes can see or that our ears can hear. Like, I feel like there's so many different wavelengths and, like, frequencies that it's possible that they are living among us and we can't even, like, perceive of them.
For sure. Oh. Or our brain, like, changes it to make sense for us, too. You know, I think that's a possibility because it's, like, for, I think, what is it? For, like, a long time, like humans didn't consider the sky blue. Like the blue was like one of the last colors that we invented, basically.
Really?
Or like the blue is like one of the last colors that we were like, oh, that's not gray, that is a blue, basically. Like we just like didn't consider it a color at all. So it's, I think that there is something to like changing, you know, our perspective and like being like, oh yeah, I didn't see an alien, I saw a thing that's like a gray shape. you know, versus like whatever it actually is, because it's just the way that our brain can process it.
I mean, look at the, doesn't it look like there's going to be one that's going to open the door behind me?
Yeah, I'm kind of scared.
Where are you? Are you in a gymnasium?
I'm in like a dance studio. They're replacing the roof at my house because it like has been leaking from all the rain, and so it's just a bunch of guys like yelling and like pounding on the roof at my home, so I had to find somewhere else to go. But like where I'm sitting, I'm just, for the audience, like I'm in like a long mirrored room with like one tiny door at the back.
It's very Area 51.
Yeah, if like an alien scuttled in right now, it'd be very, very funny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It'd be very, very funny.
Okay, I have more questions about this. What?
Please.
What do we think, like, why would the government lie to us about that, besides the fact they lie about everything?
So, okay, I'm not, like, totally convinced that it's, like, Independence Day level. They have a secret lab where, like, they all know. And, like, I don't – I think
– working.
Yeah, like, I just – I don't know if, like – if people know about them yet, but if they, I think if some, but here's my other conspiracy, okay, is that I think that there are, oh my God, my fiance is going to get so mad. He hates I have conspiracies.
But. Look, some things have conspired.
Yeah. Just, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
that's
you.
True.
I think it's very possible that there are sections of the government that we don't know about because they have just been secretly funded through bills that like nobody reads and they're like doing their own stuff. So I feel like there's a potential that there is some segment that is like knows more about alien communication. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? Maybe the aliens were like, please don't tell anybody that we're here. But I think more likely if they're here, people don't know is my guess.
Yeah.
Because I do find the government to be quite incompetent. In general.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. I think so. Right. Yeah. Like, right. They haven't been able to solve clean water yet.
Yeah.
That's so, what when people have certain conspiracy theories that involve the government being really good at shit, I'm like, no. What are we doing?
Right. Right. Like the flat earth thing. I have so many questions about the flat earth thing, but like namely, like I think their idea is that like NASA is projecting the sky to make profit for NASA. Yeah. And I'm just like, no group of people would ever work well enough together to conspire to fake the sky. Like it just
also, NASA's not how we make money, man. No. This country doesn't make money.
We're not NASA. We have Red Bull is sending people to space, not NASA. Like they don't.
Yeah, it's privatized everything.
They don't even have space money.
For sure. I mean, I think a big thing with like not wanting to, if aliens were here to like really make it a bigger deal, is that like the amount of like religious upheaval that would happen if there was like if it was proven that there were aliens, they would be considered satanic, demonic. Like, I mean, the crisis of faith, I think, that would occur and so many people would cause such like a massive crisis.
Right, because it wouldn't be like God created Earth. It would be like...
Would that, I've always thought that might be like the one thing that ultimately like creates peace among mankind. Like maybe we need a common outsider as people, Earth. We obviously as human beings have this like desire to have an us versus them mentality. So maybe having a new them would create the us.
Yeah, I think we'd be fucked.
I do think that that's true, that if we were being invaded by aliens,
right?
I really don't like to think about.
Yeah.
I do think that that is what would ultimately allow for more like community between countries, because it like we are like very tribalistic as a species, like to survive. And so suddenly our tribe would become all of humanity against aliens. But I also think there's a possibility. Well, I don't know. I think climate change could potentially have a similar effect.
Yeah.
You would hope.
We're hoping.
Yeah.
We're hoping.
But what we need to do is we need to make it seem like climate change is being caused by aliens. And then I think everyone would get it together.
What if we have an alien come down and be like, it is hot down here. And everyone's like, oh my God, they're right.
Or I'm going to turn up the temp a little bit. And then everyone would freak out.
Yeah. Let's figure this out
now. Don't fuck with our thermostat alien.
No, it's true.
Okay, that was a really fun question. I'm really glad we asked you that.
Yeah.
I had a great time. Thank you. I'm happy to talk about it ad nauseum.
Now I like want to go on to a whole deep dive about it. Okay, Allison, what fictional character would you most like to be friends with?
Oh, friends with. That's fun. Okay. Maybe friends. It's so hard because so many characters you enjoy watching, but you would never want to interact
with. Right. You're like, I don't want to be your friend.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, that seems exhausting. So what are you written for drama? Where?
Oh, okay. Maybe, you know, I think it'd be fun to be friends with Phoebe Buffay.
Good answer. Yeah. Good answer.
Yeah. She's never bringing the drama. Mm-hmm. She's just a delight to be around. She's also often very insightful, mm-hmm. especially in later seasons. Mm-hmm. Little musical. I think she'd be
she's
nice.
She's a good friend. I mean, I think
she's a very good friend.
Very fun, but yeah, like also like gets it when she's, you know, fucking something up or whatever.
Yeah, she's mm-hmm. she's self-aware, and let's be honest, you know, Phoebe has good weed.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then also consider you might have to hang out with all of her other friends.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
I like all of them.
Me too. I do too. Even Ross.
I like Ross. I know I'm not supposed to.
Oh, I love Ross.
I think he's very funny.
I do too.
Yeah.
Did you watch the reunion? Like, I tried to watch it and it was just like I couldn't get through all of it.
No, everybody liked it. Hurt. You did?
I think so, but I don't really remember it.
Yeah.
It's very sweet. Like, it's like it starts out with them like all going to the set and they haven't been there forever. And it's like very emotional and mm-hmm. it is sweet, but it's just like weird. You know, it's just kind of like surreal and
yeah.
at the same time.
It's like they did a good job ending that one. Just let it be.
Wait, how does Friends end? They have Rachel and Ross have a baby in the last season and then.
No. let me go. Only thing I know about
Friends and aliens.
Emma and Rachel. Rachel and Ross finally get back together, but they had Emma previously.
Okay,
so they're starting anew as a family, and then Monica and Chandler just adopted two twins, and so they're moving out of the big Manhattan apartment that's like the hub of the show to move to Westchester to start their family life. And so the final scene is them all leaving the apartment together and grabbing one last coffee.
Aww. Wow. I definitely watched Friends to the Bitter End, but that did not stick with me in the way that the Wonder Years finale stuck with me.
I feel like you know it's a good show when it's like about a room that you have to say goodbye to.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
For and sure. A cost-effective show as well.
So true.
Yeah.
Do you guys, in your head, I'm just realizing, like, to me, Central Perk is, like, in the first floor of that apartment building.
Yes. I think it is. I think it is, too.
Okay. I think it
is. At least in my head.
Okay. Yeah. Like, I'm glad we're all on the same page. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they traveled. At the very least, like, next door. Like, I think it's, like, not. Yeah. You don't really have to go outside that much to get there, for sure. Yeah.
This is just making, okay, I'm just going to say this because I'm thinking of it, but this is making me think of Cheers. Have you guys watched Poker Face at all?
No, I went
to. Not yet. Is it so good?
Very, very good. And it's like Columbo / Murder, She Wrote. It's like a different, she's solving a different thing each time. It's great. Okay. But also it has kind of some cast members who are in old sitcoms that you're seeing for the first time in like a long time.
Aww.
Like John Ratzenberger Cliff from Cheers is in it. And I was like, oh my God, I literally haven't seen this guy forever. Judith Light from Who's the Boss, who she does a lot of acting, but like I just haven't seen her forever. She has this great character. So it's kind of a fun show too because people pop up that you're like,
ooh, I like
kind of
that.
Stoked to see from old shows. Anyway, highly recommend it. It's very good.
Do you know that the guy... Cliff, do you know how he got his part on that show?
Oh yeah, didn't he like make it up for himself or something?
Yeah, so he came in to read for Norm, I think, and then
oh my God, wait, we have a dog.
Oh, we have a dog.
Sorry,
a dog
I
is
heard
in
my
the
dog.
Chat.
My dog was crying outside the door.
Oh, another dog.
We have two dogs. We have two dogs.
Yeah, we have two dogs. We got this dog.
Oh, baby.
And we got this dog.
Sweet baby.
We need names.
Yeah, so names.
The white one is Phantom. He was the one who cares more and was crying.
Phantom.
And then Sugar, I was shocked, was outside the door as well because she's more aloof. She's more, she does her own thing.
They know, they're like, we want to be a part of this podcast, okay?
Exactly.
We know what's going on in there. You guys are talking about John Ratzenberger. We want to be
a part. Yeah, I have some opinions on Cliff.
I got some questions. Hold on. Just real quick, just for the listener that wants to know this and like is losing their mind. So he came in to read for Norm, and then talking to the casting people, he was like, "So what character is like the guy at the bar that knows everything?" And they were like, "What are you talking about?" And he was like, "Oh, you know, like the guy that just like thinks he knows everything at the bar." And they're like, "Well, what would that sound like?" And then he like improvised basically Cliff. And they loved what he did so much, they wrote him into the show.
Oh, that's incredible.
It's amazing. And it's also exactly the kind of story that actors need to not hear.
I know. That happened once. That's the same as like, oh shit, what's his name? Mr. Helen's Opus,
Jaws.
Dreyfus. Do you know how Dreyfus, he would just show up to auditions that he did not have and be like, "I'm not interested in the part, thank you." And he would just leave. Like he would just like come and neg casting directors, and that's how he built a name. And people were like, "Get him in here. We want to see him read." Like
I have to say,
don't do that either.
I noticed a building by me that I walk by a lot where I live has now the name of my favorite casting director on it.
Ooh.
And so I definitely have had visions. can I do?
I
mean, if it's your favorite casting director, I think that's different. Like, if it's someone you have a relationship with, but like, I briefly have like dabbled.
No, I don't know her. I mean, just love her work.
Oh, then no.
No.
Then no.
Does she have like a window outside that you could check your makeup in or something? Like, I mean, people are doing that. That's definitely happening.
I need to go in there and be like, "Oh, I keep getting these deliveries. They're not for me." Are they?
Do you know who did that to me when I was working in casting on the Paramount lot? I'm going to call him out. Ian Ziering.
Oh, really?
Wow.
We were just like working and we were like, I was casting a show that, he wouldn't have been appropriate for, but like he came in and like started like improvising. He was like doing space work with like a phone and like trying to like, I'm dead serious.
That feels like something he would do though.
90210. Wait, what's his character's name in 90210?
Steve Sanders.
Steve Sanders. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
best
is
Smollett in the game. During that time, that was the third of three Ian Ziering spottings that I had in one.
You think you had spottings. I think he knew where you were.
Yeah, he was following you.
Okay, this is a perfect intro to, I'm sorry I'm going to do this to you guys right now, but our friend Jessica was talking about how her husband has been hearing a lot of dad jokes lately, and I have to do this joke because
please.
We brought up 90210.
Okay,
here
please.
We go. Okay, we all know the zip code to Beverly Hills is 90210, but did you know the one for Dawson's Creek is 90108? Okay, that's it.
All right.
I panicked that I wasn't going to get it, and then it made sense a second later, and I was delighted.
I had the same reaction. It took like a half second because it's one of the, it's your brain thinks it's more complicated than it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And you have to sort of just take in the melody.
90108. Yeah. Right. That's hard. I just had to do it. I'm sorry.
No, I love it.
It was lingering.
I love it. By the way, Dawson's, whatever fucking streamer it's on, they must have lost the rights for that pop.
They don't have the
It's
song.
Ruined the experience for me.
They have bad music.
They have like a replacement song.
That's so funny.
Imagine if you're trying to watch 90210 and like some smooth jazz comes on instead of da-na-na-na-na. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because I watched it all like a few years ago and I was like, okay, they must just get the theme song later. So every season you're waiting for it to show up and it never shows up. And it's like, what the fuck?
That's such an optimistic way to think about it, though.
Yeah. I love it. Oh, my God.
It's just like, they didn't have the money for it. I don't know.
I mean, that should be the theme song, the 90108.
90108.
The mashup.
Okay, let's do one more question and then we'll take a break. Let's see. What are your must-have qualities in a best friend? Phoebe Buffay or other.
Okay. Blind loyalty. No.
At all costs.
I'll say, I think kindness, humor, responsiveness. I have a lot of friendship trauma and a lot of like friendship insecurity. And so it's really helpful to me when I feel like if I text somebody and they don't text me back for a while, that's hard for me. Mm-hmm. Especially if I'm starting a new friendship.
It's hard to know that a new friendship on that like text game. Mm-hmm.
Right, because you don't know if that's their vibe or if like they don't actually want to be your friend. And then I'd say love of dogs helps. Because I'm going to want to talk about my dogs a lot and I'm going to want them to care.
I like don't understand because there are some people who don't care about that and I don't get it.
Who don't care about dogs?
Yeah, who just like don't care about pets or anything.
Yeah, I find to me that's like, dare I say, like a bit of a red flag.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I'm like, oh, what? It makes no sense to me.
It's like not liking pizza. It's like.
Right.
Yeah.
Another thing is like that they're like understanding of like my OCD and stuff. Like I've had some really nice friendship moments where people kind of, cause I have contamination OCD, where people kind of like anticipate that and like know to remove their shoes or know that I want to sit somewhere that's not there, you know, or like just like an awareness that I think is really lovely and always means a lot.
Just like not enough can be said about proactiveness. I think just it in most things in life, we're just like, oh my God, thank you for anticipating a nice thing about me.
Right? Or like or how anything. Lovely it is to be like, even just for someone to like send you a photo of something or a meme that you would like, just that someone is like thinking of you. Yes. It's like so touching. And that's something I think we like think about. It'll be like, oh, I should send them that. But like, whatever. But it's like, send them that. Like they'll love it.
For sure.
This is good. I have a little package that I've been meaning to send. I'm going to do it.
There's your sign.
Okay, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be back in a second. Hey, everybody. We're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Allison.
And I'm Phantom. No, I'm sorry. I don't know.
What's Phantom's voice sound like, Allison?
To me, Phantom's voice is like, "Hi guys, how's it going?"
Yeah, that seems right.
Eager, like kind of Goofy's voice, like, "Oh, all right, wonderful." Hi.
Well, let's do some lady problems. If you have a lady problem, give us a call. Our phone number is 323-6-BUT-30. You can also email us, ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com. Allison's very excited to hear our next theme song, so let's do it.
Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them?
I do! I have... Oh, no!
No, it's for... Everyone always gets tricked by that.
Yeah.
They don't just a second whisper coming.
It's magical. I love it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think that was, if I'm not mistaken, our first song.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I believe that's
a remake because we used to have an old version of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, our old one was not licensed. We did not have the rights to that music.
Yeah, we had to redo it.
Yeah.
That was tough.
We didn't get like caught by somebody. We just realized that we should redo it. Yeah,
preventatively. Yeah,
yeah. Good on you. That's nice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, let's
see what we got.
Hi, I'm leaving a lady problem. So I am 21 and I've been listening to you guys for the past 3 years and you guys have really helped me through more than you know. But I'm just wondering, I regularly find myself sobbing because I'm so fucking over adulthood and it only just started. And I'm fairly responsible and I have all my shit together. It's not like I'm not getting my shit together, not working hard enough, or am unorganized or whatever. I'm just fucking over it. I'm fucking over everything. I hate the DMV. I hate paying bills. I hate fucking taking care of myself and feeding myself every day. I hate it. I hate it. So, is this normal? Should I seek help? And what do I do? And when does it get fun? Okay. Well, I love you guys so much. And I'm so grateful for your podcast. It has literally saved my life. So, all right. Well, love you guys.
Oh, I love her.
I know. I know. You should. There are four people just like vigorously shaking their heads along with your problem of like, Yeah.
It's weird. It's like, I get older, but the bills stay the same age. No, I don't know. That doesn't make sense.
No, they age and accrue interest too, unfortunately.
I mean, but like, it is that thing of just getting older, but you still feel like you're, you know, a kid in a lot of ways. And you're like, wait, what? I have to deal with this shit now? It's very strange.
1,000,000%.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, Babs knows, DMV, I bring friends.
Yeah,
I hate going to the DMV. You always have a friend who also has to go to the DMV. I like to do DMV as a group thing.
I think that's great.
Yeah. Most of these, I think, can be made fun with the presence of a friend. You know, we've had Tess did a whole get shit done party once where she like had prizes for if you got things a certain amount of things done. Like we got together, we like made calls to our credit card companies, things that we didn't want to do. So there is. You can like make things fun, I think. Mm-hmm. Obviously not all of it's going to be, but I think that there's a way to attack this stuff where you can like bring some fun to it for sure.
Yeah, I think we should have another get shit done party. That was really effective.
I need it.
Yeah, let's do it. I think that was also, I call that my clickbait opus because that article was titled, I Fixed My Credit by Day Drinking. And...
I have some thoughts, but I don't know. Okay. So I will give the caveat that we give advice on our show just between us all the time. So probably different style of advice. Cause I also, I come at it from being four classes away from a master's in psychology.
This is what we need.
Yes. I sometimes take it a little too seriously, but the one thing I will say is like, if you do feel like you are overwhelmed to the point of like exhaustion or like you feel like you want to cry all the time or like this feels very different than how you have experienced life in the past, there is the chance that like something is awry with your mental health that might need more attention than and like it could be worth like looking into if you have access to therapy, that sort of thing. You might be like, you know, some signals of like burnout might be happening. Mm-hmm. But this is more just like every day, like this is so fucking annoying, which I think is like how we all feel too.
For sure, yeah.
I mean, the one thing is like I think it's really helpful to schedule joy in your life. So to like make sure that there's like actual times of each day that you look forward to, which can be like really simple things from like, I love my coffee. So I love drinking my coffee in the morning, which means that like for those 15 minutes every morning, I'm just drinking my coffee and like reading my book or like I'm not also doing another thing. Or like I'm making sure that like in between all the adult things, I'm seeing my friends this amount per week. And it can feel like really weird of like I'm scheduling good times because like you're like the good times should come easily. But if you are in that kind of a slump, that can be helpful. Mm-hmm. And then also like 21 feels like a adjustment transition period. And there is like an element of like these things might become easier to tackle as you get more used to tackling them. And so by the time you're in your mid-20s, late 20s, 30s, you might just have a better system of dealing with it. So it won't always feel like as overwhelming as it does now.
And I was going to say, especially like being 21 now means that 3 years ago in 2020, you were 18, which means you graduated high school and then were thrown into a pandemic world. Mm-hmm. So that's like you know, that is lighter fluid, that is oil, that is everything flammable on top of already like a learning fire at that point in your life. Like, so a lot of like things that, you know, I mean, for the first couple, last couple of years, I'm sure like a lot of things that like would have been like support system things just weren't available too. So it's like you've been learning to do a lot of this shit like in a different world than a lot of people have. And then there's like a lot of just, you know, being thrown like out into the world to figure all this stuff out is like hard anyway. But then on top of that, to have like, oh, just like economic complete instability. And then
right.
You can't even hug a friend when you are sobbing about bills and shit like that. I mean, you know, there, I have a lot of empathy for like what that your age group is going through specifically right now, because I can't imagine how hard the last couple of years have been like through all of this. And, you know, I think it's an important thing to remember, you know, but like automate as much as possible. Like like that, I think, is a lesson that it took me a long time to really learn, especially with like, if you have credit cards and you can have enough money in your account to make sure your minimums are always covered, the amount of shit that it will save you if you just have stuff just automated, just to pay down, just to have that shit off your plate, it like will, the amount of like anxiety that kind of thing will take away is wild.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And like when I think that's like so simple, and like,
yeah,
it does save you a lot of headache. And I think especially when you're getting used to paying bills, and like what I did when I first started doing that is I would like put in my calendar like this bill's gonna hit this day, so then I would know, because when you're 21, like you probably are like, yeah, your balance is gonna be, you are kind of like,
yeah, right at the edge
right there. Yeah. So I would like check my bank to make sure I had the funds to cover that, because, yeah, I think that's the fear with auto pay is like, when you're young and you're just starting out, like you're so skimming in those margins that, like, you're worried that a bill's going to hit and, like, overdraft your account. So, yeah, I would – that's great advice.
Yeah.
I think the other, like, maybe this is helpful to, like, look at it this way is, like, really it doesn't – you're not experiencing it probably in this way because you're thinking about these bills and this DMV and it's fucking terrible. But, like, what you're also experiencing right now is autonomy. Like, the other side of that is, like, the more of these kind of things that are encumbering you, that's just a sign that you're becoming more and more free, really. And, like, as I've gotten older, like, that is the one thing that I kind of like about getting older is, like, the more you kind of, like, become successful and build and, like, have these healthy patterns, the kind of more fun shit you get to do. Like, then you get to start going on vacations and, like, going out to fun dinner. I don't know. Like, you get to kind of start doing things that are very – I think the boring stuff is the counterpart to the very fun stuff.
Yeah.
That's true. I do find myself a lot. And obviously, you know, we do comedy and that's like
really fun.
Fun thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. I know, our lives are like pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I realize that that's like different than a lot of careers.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I do think that getting older, kind of a fun part about it can be sometimes when I realize like, oh, I have my shit handled. I pay my bills. And I can, like, eat cereal for dinner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, silly choices where it's like, I don't do that all the time, but it's like, I'm in charge of my choices and what I do with my time. And that can be spent doing stupid, fun shit that I just want to do, you know, with my friends or whatever it is. So, yeah, I think that there's something along with that, that a real joy that comes when you just realize fully that, like, my spare time is how I want to spend it, and whatever I want to do with that is up to me, you know? Just kind of lean into that, I think. And
yeah.
And like, it'll, yeah.
This is a dumb thing too, but like, I don't know. I find that like, I don't know why the DMV is such a thing for me. I hate fucking going to the DMV, but like when I have to run errands like that, I don't know, for me personally, like having a good podcast or audiobook, if I can be listening to that while I have to do it, like that makes it a lot more like, what's, you know, feasible for me. Like I don't know. I find that having like good music, podcasts, audiobooks like that helps me get through like tedious tasks.
Oh my God. Yeah. We should release an episode just meant for people who are going to the DMV.
Yes. A DMV episode. Okay. People would love that.
They would.
Okay. Should. Just like, if you're going to the DMV today, pop this in. We're
And it's facts about the DMV.
We can just roast the DMV for two hours. Okay,
so they can say like, oh, did you know this DMV was built in blah, blah, blah? And people will be like, oh, wow, how do you know that?
All right, cool.
Now a DMV serving companion.
It'll be called Now Serving Listener Number B7.
Dude, I wrote it. I wrote it in our to do in our shared to do list. Great. It's on there officially.
Oh, wow, that's brilliant.
I think DMV episode. Also, just DMV tip, always make an appointment. A lot of times people just show up. If you make an appointment, you'll get in way faster, in my experience, in LA at least.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So, and you can do a lot of stuff online too, so you can probably cut out some of that.
Also, if you're like getting a photo, honestly, I like get compliments on my license photo all the time because I like was like, I'm going to like look insane in my license photo and have like my hair is going to match my shirt and my lips. Are, like I'm wearing like a Hawaiian shirt that all the colors that I have match it exactly. And people are always like, this is an amazing photo. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Thank you. So you can like do dumb shit like with adult shit to make it work.
Right. Or you can, be really high with Tess and look really high in your photo.
We both look so high on our
license photos, really high. And when we were in line to get them taken, the news was on the DMV TV that Lin-Manuel Miranda was leaving Hamilton. So we were like, "Oh, I'm sad."
That's what our DMV pictures look like.
That's so funny.
I also think there's like
have fun with the DMV photo.
Yeah.
And I think, like, the thing I've been working on is, like, because I also hate to do all these, like, care tasks and domestic tasks and all that stuff, just, like, reframing it as, like, this is a way to care for myself. That, like present me is, like, taking care of future Allison. And, like, what a nice thing to do to, like, care for myself and set myself up to, like, have a nice life and to have my sheets be washed so later I can get into a clean bed. Like, kind of, like, a separating... myself as like a caregiver to myself, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I like that because we always do that better for others than we do ourselves. So it's nice to try and separate that.
Yeah.
Well, like, I don't know if anyone else has this problem, but the food, I'm really relating to this. The food thing really hit home for me too because like I got like one meal a day in me that I can get creative about. Like, other than that, I don't know. I find it so tedious. Oh, I have to fucking choose what I want to eat. Ah, go wait in line. Wait for it. Then I have to go sit down and eat it. Ah, like, I just...
No, food is exhausting sometimes. Where you're just like, don't... Because we all have, like, a finite amount of, like, executive function we can use every day. And, like, to use any of it on meals constantly... It's just like, I don't know.
Right, and then the other hand is that it's like, okay, do you want a meal plan and prep all of that? That's that's really hard to do. Something. And then you're eating the same thing every day, which is not like super appealing.
I know.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of advice for that other than to say I get it. And
I get it.
It's like.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I am still, you know, in my mind, it's like 1999 because I still go to Jamba Juice like twice a week because I need a meal that I can eat while I'm driving.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%.
That's great that you know that for yourself.
Totally. I was thinking about Jamba Juice after podcasting today, honestly.
I'm going to go too, Brandy.
Perfect.
I also basically don't have any solutions when it comes to
Jamba Juice.
Yeah. I mean, Jamba Juice kind of helps a little bit. Just get like the protein add-on. It's fine. Yeah, it's a meal.
They also have the caffeine boost now or whatever.
Yeah.
They got it all.
Oh, yeah.
Boost it up. Boost it.
And like not a sponsor, but can I just say like Jamba Juice slaps like... Every other smoothie in this country costs like $25. Jamba Juice, you can get in and out for under 10 with a boost.
Yep. Damn straight. Wow. Damn straight. Jamba, we're juicing, baby.
I did not expect this to take this turn.
When you're feeling down about being an adult, Jamba's always there for you.
I think it also points to kind of what we were talking about earlier where like... When you hear that other people struggle with the same stuff you do, it can help because even though we're older than the listener calling in, we can say that like, this is just stuff that we all deal with. And like, it is annoying, but you do get through it. And like Allison said, you do find ways to tackle it that make it easier, but it's just life. And like, you find a way to like, if you just focus on finding ways to be happy in your life, I don't know what your career situation is, but hopefully it's something that you enjoy.
Yeah.
And like you're going to figure out how to make it work for you eventually. It's just kind of annoying like while you're doing while that's happening.
For sure. And a lot of it is like a muscle that you the more you do it also the more you're just like all right, that's fine. Whatever. Like that stuff does get easier like over time too to a certain degree.
And like realistically, I think this is also one of those things where it can be so easy to like forget like most of the shit only takes like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's the problem. When you put, yes. I mean, I'm the queen of putting shit off that only takes 5 minutes. And then mm-hmm. finally I do it and I'm like, what the fuck was I?
Yeah.
What? This didn't take anything. But yeah. It's just, yeah, how it goes.
Something that I've done before is like, I like have kept a list of all those things that make that take 5 minutes. And I'm just like, okay, I'm annoyed with my bullshit. How much can I get done in an hour? And then mm-hmm. you turn things into a challenge to be like, here's like 25 minute things. How much can we really get done in an hour? Because I know, and then you just like power through that list just to like, bah, 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 bah. And then you give yourself a Jamba Juice at the end of it.
I love to make things a competition and I love yes. to have a reward.
Yes.
Those are very important things.
What sign are you, Allison?
Oh, well, I'm a Gemini, but I'm on the Cancer cusp and I've been told I'm more like a Cancer than okay. a Gemini.
Okay. I was thinking maybe Aries because of the competition thing, but I can see... I see that.
When we had to like pack up to leave, like we went to a wedding in Florida with my parents, and I was like, okay, we're gonna pack everything up in 10 minutes, and then we like set a timer and like made it like a whole thing, and it makes it way more fun than when you're just having a pack.
It really does. I'll do that with like even like work stuff. I really love timing my stuff and like trying to beat a deadline.
Yeah.
Like, I find that makes it really more fun.
Yeah. I feel like just building weird little, I mean, I remember this is dumb, but I remember like being like 12 and like having to help my dad like stuff envelopes for something. And I did a game where I was like, for every first name on this envelope, I'm going to think of a famous person's last name or a friend of mine's last name. And I was like, how quick can I do it? It was just this like dumb brain exercise.
That's yeah, that's
just,
good.
It's just like anything to like come up with like a challenge or a game to keep yourself like occupied in that kind of bullshit work is just like, I don't know. Make it fun.
Like your level of like tolerance is going to depend on like your overall mental health, right? So like sometimes like mm-hmm. your frustration tolerance is at a zero because you are not doing well in general. So like something like paying a bill or going to the DMV is like going to break you. Yeah. Where like there'll be other times when like you're doing better, so you have a higher frustration tolerance mm-hmm. and you can like handle more things. And so I think remembering that it's going to kind of ebb and flow mm-hmm. and that your worst day of chores, every day of chores won't feel like that.
Yeah. No, exactly.
I also feel
you got
like
this yoga helps. We're your future, and we're doing great.
Yeah. We're doing great.
Yeah, you're fine. I was just gonna tell for my real also. Other, I think yoga has made me a much more like patient person. I started practicing yoga when I was about your age. I feel like that helps a lot. But then I have advice of what not to do. One time I had to do my taxes, and I hate doing taxes, and so I was like, you know what, like. This will be easier if I just like anesthetize myself with wine the whole time. And it took me like 11 hours to do what should have been like 2 hours of taxes. So don't do that.
Yeah,
or if you are like one glass of wine.
Yeah, that's like me with writing. Even though I'm taking a break from drinking, but like I always was like, I'll drink and then write. It never, ever, ever helped. I don't work on alcohol. That's a good idea.
Oh my gosh.
Good luck.
Yeah, you can do this. You got this.
Thank you so much, Allison, for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I had the best time. So
fun. Yeah, this is awesome.
It was a joy. Shout out to everybody where they can hear your podcast, where they can follow you online and find your books and all that stuff.
Yeah, so I have a weekly podcast called Just Between Us with my co-host Gabe Dunn. And then you can find me on socials at Allison Raskin. I also have a mental health kind of brand called Emotional Support Lady, which is a Substack and an Instagram. And then you can buy my book, Overthinking About You. Please buy it.
Makes a big difference when you go out and support everybody. Support everyone who's been on our show. And yeah. All the wonderful work they do. Please go buy Allison's book right now. And thank you so much for joining us. This was so much fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. All right, everybody. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, ladies. I was just listening to the latest pod, and the caller was asking, you know, about things you can do to get out and see people if you're an extrovert. And I had the same challenge when I started working remotely. Like I am going crazy. I'm talking to all the pets. I'm talking to like my neighbors. Like I know I'm doing too much. No one wants to talk to me this much. But anyway, I wanted to suggest maybe looking at Meals on Wheels or a, you know, food delivery option, because for me, it was really enjoyable. I mean, people liked it. They're appreciative. And nobody cares about your life as much as a grandma. So when I go every week, it's like they are excited to see me. They want to know about my really boring life. It's been a really positive experience. And then you're helping somebody out. So anyway, just wanted to suggest that if the caller is still considering things, it's been a great change for me and checks all the boxes. All right. Bye.
Hi, ladies. I am listening to the latest episode and y'all are talking about is when you were in middle school or if you were in high school, if you had to take care of an egg or the fake babies for a class. And I actually did. I took in high school. My high school had an actual preschool attached to it for students that had children or for teachers that had children. And it was a class. And in that class, the final was to take care of an electronic baby for a week. It literally cried in the middle of the night. It cried in class. It would like shit itself in the middle of class and you'd have to leave and take care of it. I was on dance team. I would have to like go in the middle of practice and go wipe my pretend baby's ass and get back to practice. But yeah, I literally lost so much sleep that week. I had to like function through all my classes with a fake baby. I literally had to pull over one time at a G.I. Joe's parking lot, that shows how old I am, and feed the fake baby because it was crying in my back seat. But happy to say I got 100% on taking care of my baby, which is awesome because I have a 7-year-old now, and that gives me hope that she will survive another 7 to 15 years under my care, and then after that she's, you know, on her own. She'll be a grown-up. But anyway, love you guys. I hope you have a great day, and a happy new year.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker. Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.